These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name, excuse me, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, one as we. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst takest them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now I'm going to bring a message, God willing, here in a little bit from verses 11 and 12. If you want to keep your Bibles turned there. I hate missing services. When you miss a service, it gets you all out of pocket. It does me. It really does. And then, you know, they said it's going to snow at 6 o'clock. It didn't even start till 9:30. We could have been here and been home and had something to eat. But oh boy. That I'm thankful that we're able to meet this morning. I look so forward to being here. And I know you have. And some of you all haven't been here and because of the weather. But it is a blessing. It's always a blessing. You know, sheep go in flocks. You know, and if a sheep's out by itself, a wolf will get him. But you know, they go in flocks and they got a shepherd, you know. That's what we'll deal with Wednesday night. The Lord is my shepherd. And I tell you, the shepherd's going to take care of his sheep. And he's going to keep them all together. But I want you to look here in verse 11 and 12. And I want to hopefully say something here. Now this is our Lord Jesus Christ praying for us. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I don't know, we'll never fully know what it is for our Lord Jesus Christ to intercede for us. This prayer he prayed for us is still being answered today for those who are going to believe through the word. How many times has his intercession for us protected us from evil that awaited us? We don't have any idea. As he interceded for us, how many times do you reckon he spared us from some catastrophe that could have happened? or kept us back from some horrible sin. And how many times has His intercession for us kept us from fully following our fallen nature? All the difference that's made in us and the world is Christ made the difference. That's all. And here we have our blessed Savior praying for us, and He prays for us for the Father to keep us. He says, Father, these are in the world. I come to Thee that through Thine own name that You have given me, that You'll keep these people, that You'll keep them. Now He's praying for His Father, for us to be kept by His Father. And I know this, that we need keeping. You know why we need keeping? Because of where we are. He says here in verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. That's why we need to be kept. And why He prays for the Father to keep us. Because we're in the world. We're living in this world right here. And when He's talking about the world, He's talking about this earth that we live in right here. And the world system that we have to live under. The world system that's against God. The world system that don't know God. Don't want to know God. God don't enter their thoughts at all. In fact, Paul called it this present evil world. And John says the whole world lies in wickedness. Wickedness. And the world doesn't know God. Look what our Lord said here in John, in verse 25 of John 17 here. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I've known Thee. But the world don't know Him. The world don't know God. I've often said it like this, if they met God in the middle of the road, they wouldn't know Him no different than they wouldn't recognize Him at all. They wouldn't know God from a goat, most people wouldn't. They really wouldn't. And in fact, our Lord Jesus Christ says, I pray not for the world. I don't pray for the world. I'm not in the business of praying for the world. Who are you praying for then, Lord? For those that You gave me. For those that I laid down my life for. For those that I did the work for. For those that I came into this world to do something for. And our Lord said down up here in verse 11, now I'm no more in the world. This is why He prayed for them. This is why He prayed for them. I'm no longer in the world. This is about the first. This is going to be about the first time that these dear saints, these dear children of God, were going to be left alone. Their Master had always been with them. John, the beloved disciple, leaned on His breast often. They always had questions for Him. How many times did He save them? How many times did He rebuke them? How many times did He talk to them about their little faith? And all their Master had always been with them. They could always turn to Him in their need and ask questions. Ask questions. And our Lord said, the hour's come, the time of my departure's here. And He says, and Father, I come to Thee. I'm coming back to You. I was with You. I left You. I came here. And now it's time to go back. That's what I said. Father, I come to Thee. I come to Thee. And He said, oh Father, these few sheep, these weak, weak disciples, they aren't going to heaven with Me. They're not going back to be with You like I am. They're going to be left in a wicked, 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 cold, persecuting, God-hating world. And our Lord speaks here as if He has already died, buried, and rose and ascended. And yet He hadn't. But His hour was come. When He got through with this prayer, He walked over the brook and went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and they coming to get Him. They came to get Him. His hour had come. His hour had come. And He speaks, but He calls those things which be not as though they already were. It's just like us in preaching the gospel. God's got sheep in this world, and we don't know who they are. And that's why we preach the gospel. We know everyone for whom Christ died will one day believe the gospel. One day will hear it and they will believe it. Why? Because Christ said they would. Christ said they would. And I tell you, He can tell those things as though they be not, as though they really were. And He said, I'm no longer in the world. I come to Thee. I'm no longer in the world. I won't be here to guard them. I won't be here any longer to guard them. I won't be here any longer to guide them. I won't be here in the world any longer to personally care for them. They'll be exposed to the world. Huh? He had been their present friend. He had been their protector. He had upheld them in their infirmities. He upheld them in their weaknesses. He protected them from evil that was around them. Oh, how many times did He save them from their weaknesses, protected them? When they even thought that they were going to perish, and He didn't care enough for them to perish, He got up and He saved them. He got up and He saved them. What does He do? Because He's no longer going to be in the world, and because these are left in the world, what's He going to do? He says, Father, keep through Thy name these whom Thou hast given Me. I'm going back. Now, Father, while I'm gone, You keep them. I'm fixing to go to the cross. You keep them. I'm fixing to go back to glory and sit at Your right hand. You keep them. You got big hands. You got a strong arm. You got all power. You got all the grace. Oh my. But these, He said, these are still in the world. You know, God could take every believer the moment he believes, He could take them right to glory if He willed to do that. He could take them right to glory. He did that dying thief. He took him right to glory with Him. He took Enoch. Enoch was went out walking one day and didn't go home. His wife wondered where in the world he was. He was not, for God took him. He didn't go back home. God took him, translated him, and carried him home. Elijah, listen, I'm going to send a great big chariot. And he's going to come down, and about the time he gets there, I'm going to just have it pick you right up and have it bring you right up to Me. He could take us all just like that. But for reasons only known to Himself, He leaves us in the world. He leaves some of us longer, some of us shorter. And why does He leave us in the world? Why does He leave us here? And why does He say, Father, keep them? I'll tell you why He does it. He gets more glory by leaving us here. You know that? He gets more glory for Himself by leaving us here and by keeping us. When Paul says, there's another time that Paul prayed three times, Lord, this thorn in the flesh, You sent it to me. And it hurts. It really hurts. And he asked Him three times, take it away from me. God just said, no, I'm not going to do it. You know what Paul said? He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I'm absolutely weak, but He's got all the strength, and I have none whatsoever. And I tell you, beloved, His power is made perfect in our weakness. We learn daily. We learn daily, I am what I am by the grace of God. We learn that every single day. Huh? That's what we learn. And He leaves us in this world. My grace is sufficient for you. Is it never not sufficient? Is it never not a time in your life where God's grace hasn't been sufficient? When you didn't have no answers, was His grace not sufficient enough? When the doctor gave you bad news, was His grace not sufficient enough? When your marriage was in a rough spot, was grace not sufficient enough? When someone you loved is dying, was His grace not sufficient enough? Oh, His grace is sufficient. It's never once, never once, never once failed anybody who knows Christ. It's never failed. There's not been a moment in your life since God saved you by His grace that He has not had enough grace for you for every moment of every day of your life. You say, I need grace for this. I need you. Listen, we need grace 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, amen. 60 seconds in every minute.
Yes. Amen.
And if I ever find myself not needing grace, I'd prove that I just never had it to start with. Listen, what would we do without it? What would we do? Huh? And this, I am what I am by the grace of God. Oh, this is our doctrine. This is what God taught us. This is our experience. Grace is our experience. This is our hope. This is our hope. I was with Brother Henry praying the other day, or listened to him preaching the other day, and he said, listen, if God got us right to the portals of glory, and we had but a half a step to walk through and get in, we still couldn't make it. If you can take the last step, you can take the first one. But if you can't take the first one, you can't take the last one. Ain't that right? Oh, bless His name. He sent Moses into Egypt to reveal His power in Pharaoh. And we're left here to be tried. We're left here to be tested. That the excellency might be of the power of God, not of us. Look over here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He leaves us here that He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. Look what He said. Look here's what He said here in verse 7. But we have this treasure. Oh, what a treasure we have. Treasure of Christ. Treasure of His blood. Treasure of His righteousness. Treasure of forgiveness. Treasure of justification. Oh, treasures. Oh, we've got treasures. Oh my. The world think it's got treasures. We got real treasures. But this treasure, look what it says. It's in earthen vessels. Pots. Clay pots. I look at you and we're just clay pots. Dust. But all the treasure that God put in you, Christ in you, faith He put in you, grace He gave you, hope He gave you. Oh, what treasures. When I see you and you see me, we're just clay pots. But oh, the treasure that's in them clay pots. That's why we enjoy being together so much. You got treasures that I want to hear about. I want you to talk about. Tell me about. And look what He goes on to say. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why is it this way? That the excellency of the power of keeping that gold clay pot and that treasure in that clay pot, the excellency of the power may be of God. And we don't have nothing to do with it. Oh my. And I'll tell you something else. There is an appointed measure of suffering that God's got allotted for each of us while we're in this world. He's got a measure of suffering for each of us. And we all got to get the share that He means for us to have. You know, Philippians 1:29 says this, not only is it given you to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for His name. Now I tell you, I don't know how much suffering I'll have, and I don't know how much you'll have, but I know that God's got us a measure. And I'm glad man don't measure it, I'm glad God measures it. He knows just how much to put on you. And when He puts it on you, He knows just how long to let it go. And why does He do that? To make us understand that we have no strength and we got to have Him. Huh? Oh my. It's through much, much, much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. Huh? Another reason that He leaves us in this world is to make us look forward to when Christ comes to get us. Oh, that's another reason He does. Lord, come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But He says, we look when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You know what it says next? Then shall we appear with Him and be glorified together with Him. Oh my. What a blessed hope we have. Sue Thacker. I don't know how many of y'all remember Sue Thacker. Did any of y'all know Sue Thacker? The Lord called her home last Sunday evening. Sunday afternoon. And when I heard the news, I said, oh boy, thank the Lord for that. That's what I said, thank the Lord. Her son said, oh, she's going home. This world's not her home. Oh my. Oh my. I'm going to tell you a story, and I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable or anything, but the night that Mary died, I called Dewey and told him. I said, your mama's gone. You know what he said? He said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more suffering, no more pain, no more heartache, no more sorrow. That's what we're talking about. Amen. Going to be with Christ. Going to be with Him. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be where? Present with the Lord. And He leaves us here so that we're looking forward to that. Some days you want Him to come so bad you can't hardly stand it. And other days you say, you get so busy you don't even think about it. We're a mess, ain't we?
Yes.
We're a mess. Then look what he says here now. In verse 11 again, he says, Holy Father, keep these. Holy Father, keep these through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me. Keep them. And when he calls him Holy Father, this is the only place in the scriptures where Christ calls him Holy Father. Calls him Righteous Father, Holy Father. Calls him Father, calls him Holy Father. Why does he call him Holy Father? Because he's holy. Because he's holy. This describes his character. He's holy. This describes his nature. He's holy. And he's high. He's so high above all. He's pure. Infinitely holy. Gloriously holy. Eternally holy. And when you look at the titles that God gives Himself in the Scriptures, they're suited to the requests we make to Him. We need peace. He's the God of peace. We need patience. He's the God of patience. We need keeping. Father, keep these through Thy name. You're the Holy Father. Would anybody that's holy as God is, would He ever not do what He's supposed to do? Would He never ever not keep us? Oh my, when you talk about God. Look, let's look together at Psalm 113. Look what it says over here about our Lord. Look what it says about our Lord. Psalm 113. You know, the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the Father of mercies, name after name after name. And all to be called the God of comfort, the God of patience, God of peace, established peace, brought peace, gives peace. Look what He says right here now. In verse 3, Psalm 113. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. Oh, there's some awful powerful nations and big nations in this world. The Lord's high above all of them. And His glory is even above the heavens. So we ask this question. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Now listen to this now. Who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in heaven. Oh my, he has to humble himself to look at things in heaven. Oh my. So if he has to humble himself, imagine how humble it is for him to look down on things on the earth. And look what else he does. He raises up the poor out of the dust. Lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him among princes. Oh my. Back over here in our text. When he said, Holy Father, keep through thy name those that thou hast given me. And when he says, Holy Father, keep, he is letting them know who it is that's going to be keeping them. Look who it is that I'm asking to keep you. He's holy and he'll do according to his nature. And he said, Father, keep through thine own name. And why he's saying, Father said, I love these sheep. I love these sheep. I laid down my life for them. I bore their sins. And I loved them. I come into this world because I loved them. I come into this world to do for them what they couldn't do for themselves. Holy Father, you send me. And what you gave me to do, I did. And now I'm no longer in the world, so keep these. Keep these. What value our Lord must place upon us to ask His Father and pray for His Father to keep us. How valuable, how precious, how blessedly, how loved we must be of Him, to Him to ask His Father to keep us. Why in the world does He look at us and ask these things? Why does He esteem us so highly? Well, it's not because of anything in us. No, no. Because we were given to Him. Oh, we're a gift to Him. Oh my. And He wouldn't leave His sheep to just anybody. Here's, oh, Gabriel's a great and mighty archangel. He ain't going to leave His sheep to angels. Well, there's some awful great prophets in the world. He ain't going to leave His sheep with prophets. No, no. He said, Father, I got some people that you gave me. And I loved them people. And I laid down my life for them people. I gave myself for them. Father, I got to leave them here. Got to leave them in this world. But you're holy. You're glorious. You're faithful. Keep them. Keep them. Through your own name. Oh my. Listen, you know, John 3:16 tells of how much the Father loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. And John 17 tells of the Father's love to His Son. God's love gave Him a people who will one day, bless His holy name, who will one day be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we sung that song, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Well, that's what we will do for all eternity. Sing His praises. It over and over and over and over again. We'll stand around and wonder, oh Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I'm not there. I'm here. And He said, Father, preserve them. Please preserve them. You gave them to me. Now I'm giving them back to you. Keep them. Keep them. And then look what He says here. I've got to hurry off. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them. But He says there in verse 11, I've said, that Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we. One as we. He prays that they may be one. Now when He's talking about that He prays that we may be one, He's talking about the unity between ourselves. That's what He's talking about. Not our unity with the Father. He says, may they be one as we, as you and I are. May those dear people that I gave you, that those people that I laid down my life for, may they be one as we. And our unity with one another is what He's praying for. And I'll tell you something that we're really one about. I mean, we really are one about. We have everybody here that knows Christ. You know Him for yourself. You have a oneness. We all have one personal knowledge and fellowship with the Father and with the Son. We all have the same Father. We all have the same Son. We all have the same blood. We all have everything that God done for us. He done for every one of us. But we all believe the same thing. Oh, listen. He says we have oneness in spirit. Oneness in affection. Oneness in aim. Listen, we're not all pulling in different directions. No, we're here today, one. We're here over one knowledge of God the Father, one knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our fellowship with Him. And we're one. You know why? Because we're made partakers of the divine nature. I've said this over and over and over again. I tell you, when God saves a man, He saves him from top of his head to the sole of his feet. He saves his heart. He saves his will. He saves his mind. He saves his affection. He saves his heart. He saves his understanding. He saves everything about him. He brings into existence a person who never existed before. One day, you rejoiced in sin and you didn't even think about God. And then the next day, that's all you can think about. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of the mess I am? How am I going to get out of the shape I'm in? How am I going to get out of this miserable life that I'm living? How am I going to get out of this? But God calls you to start seeking. And you start seeking and you start looking and you start listening. And one day you'll go someplace to listen to somebody and that person will get up and start telling you about a sovereign God. and about a Christ who bore his sins in his own body on the tree, and about God's election in those people, God's grace given to those people, Christ dying for those people. And you say, that's what I've been wanting to hear. That's the remedy for me. Don't tell me that I have to quit some sin before I repent. Don't tell me I got to forsake this, that, and the other before I can be saved. Just tell me who can save me. And when you find out that he did it all, when you find out he did it all, that he ain't never looked to you for nothing and never will look to you for nothing, you got to look to him for everything. He ain't never going to look to you for nothing. Oh my. And that's why we're talking about made partakers. And what he does is when he makes these things, he makes us agree with him. I agree with every word he has to say. I agree with his will. I agree with his word. I agree with his nature. I agree with his purpose. I agree with his predestination. I agree with his election. I agree with grace. I agree with his righteousness. I agree with God over everything. And don't you? Amen. Huh? Oh. To know him and have fellowship him. Now there's a lot of difference in God's people. All of us here are different today. We're all different in a lot of different ways. Yet those who know him know this one thing. Salvation is of the Lord. Huh? Ain't that right?
Right.
Oh my. And there's a blessed, blessed unity of believing God. When our Lord said, may they be one as we. May all these be one like you and I, Father, are one. Oh my, there's a blessed unity in us in believing God's Word. Believing that it's inspired. Believing it. This is our final authority. And oh, we all look to Christ and His blessed person, His glorious, glorious work. We do. Oh, we're all dressed. We all got the same clothes on. You know that? We all got different clothes on today, but we all dressed the same in God's sight. We all got the same clothes on. Huh? We all dressed just alike. Oh, we all dressed just alike. What are we dressed in? The righteousness of Christ. Pure and white and spotless, unblameable and unreprovable. We all, every one of God's people, aim for the glory of God. All of them long for the time when they shall forever be with the Lord. And so the union he prays for us is spiritual, intimate, invisible, and unbreakable. Huh? And then let me hurry up and say this. In verse 12, let me finish it up with this. Our Lord said, you know, Father, I come and give these people to you. You keep through thine own name. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them. I kept them. And I kept them through thy name. Huh? And he commits them to know the name who he had kept them with and from, for, I mean. And those that thou gavest me, I've kept. You notice that? Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. He said, Father, keep them. He said, I've kept them. Now you keep them. I've kept them. You know, people say, I don't want nobody to keep me up. Boy, I do. God, keep me up. I don't want nobody to keep me up. Yeah, God, you keep me. Kept. He has kept them. And then he says, none of them is lost. None of them's lost. Not a one of them. Not a one of them. But then he puts that little bud in there. And here's a difference between Christ's sheep and those given to Christ and those who weren't given to Christ. Huh? When he says, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Did Christ fail here and lose Judas? Did the Holy Spirit fail here? No. It says that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas wasn't given to Christ. Esau wasn't given to Christ. Ishmael wasn't given to Christ. Bruce Crabtree and I was talking the other day. He said, do you reckon any of our children may be an Esau? May not never know God? Huh? Wouldn't it be awful? We used to sing a song. D.J. Ward taught it to us. I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be a Christian in my heart. I don't want to be a Judas in my heart. I don't want to be a Judas in my heart. I don't want to be a Judas. Huh? And, oh God, rip that heart open and let it be exposed to you. And if there's something in there that's not supposed to be there, God, reach in there and take it out. You said you kept me. Keep me from everything that's unlike you. Rip it open. Rip it open. Oh, Judas wasn't given to Christ. He wasn't a child of God. He is a son of perdition. And here's the thing about it. The false was with the real for 3 years and they didn't know it. He didn't even know he's false himself until he was put to the test. And you know what got him? Filthy lucre. Filthy lucre. And oh my. And I tell you what, when you see the false spent so long time with the real, you know what it does? It just magnifies the grace of God more in him keeping them that were given to him. Huh? I've kept them. Now, Father, you keep them. You know, the only thing that can keep us in this world is a power that's omnipotent. A power that we utterly and absolutely depend on every day. A supernatural power. Even when we're not conscious of it. He still keeps us. Huh? He still keeps us. How many times have you been driving along, somebody's pulled right out in front of you? But the Lord let you have good brakes on your car. Huh? Oh, I tell you, how many times has He kept us? And I want to be kept, don't you? I want to be kept. Father, keep me. Please keep me. I want you to be kept. I want you to be kept. I want to be here when the Lord calls you home, and I want you here when the Lord calls me home. I want to be kept till then. Not a minute longer. Our Father, oh, blessed, blessed Father, how precious, how glorious is your gospel. Lord, who is like unto you in power, great in grace and glory. Oh, Lord, what you do for us. We come today because of your will. We come because of your purpose. We come because of your word and your spirit and our need. And Lord, you meet our needs. Oh, how you meet our needs. Blessed be your name. Oh, Lord, thank you. Praise you. Keep us. Keep us, keep us, keep us. Keep these blessed saints of God. Keep them for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I want
found was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace
that taught my heart.
Oh, it taught us, it taught us. Took those fears and relieved them. Still amazing, isn't it? Grace is still amazing. So amazing. I love you. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock, Lord willing.